put your hands together here for Don Jones.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning. As Richard said, my name is Don Jones. I am a curriculum director for Pluralsight. If you're not familiar with Pluralsight, anybody Pluralsight subscriber? Awesome. We've got a little booth in the expo area. Stop by if you are not a subscriber and you'd like to check it out. But I am not going to take much of your time today. I'm going to bring on the main event in a second. But I just wanted to kind of tee it up. This cloud thing apparently is going to be a thing, so no matter what anybody tries to do about it. But I think a lot of us have probably realized that very few companies are going to push literally everything they have into some cloud provider. There's always going to be a mix of stuff that we keep on-prem. There's going to be a mix of stuff that we have out in the cloud. We're just going to try and do the right thing at the right time for whatever the workload is. And I think arguably Microsoft has one of the more compelling stories for that hybrid approach. They obviously have a huge installed base and investment in our data centers. And they're taking what they've learned there and moving it to the cloud, and then what they learn in the cloud comes back to the data center. So a massive piece of that hybrid story is, of course, this product called Azure Stack. And it's a good story. Whether you're on the dev side or the IT side, I think understanding what Azure Stack exactly is, because if you've just got like the high-level headline of it, you probably don't realize what this thing is actually promising to do for us. So it's good to have that story. It's good as you go back and talk to the folks back home, as you work with your consulting clients, as you get on the blogs and everything else, to really know what the story here is. And here to tell you that story is Microsoft Technical Fellow, Azure Stack Architect, and deeply flawed human, Jeffrey Snover.
Howdy, I'm Jeffrey Snover. I'm going to talk to you about Azure Stack today. I'm super excited about Azure Stack. I have to say it's one of the most radical products Microsoft has ever released, right, or about to release. And a lot of people there's a lot of confusion about Azure Stack because it's the first of a new category. So my goal today is to help you get Azure Stack in focus, what it is and what it is not, okay? So what we're going to go through, I'm going to give you some context, talk about the three Azure Stack promises, go through the use cases. These are the durable use cases for Azure Stack. It's useful for a lot of things, but these are the things that are sort of the hero scenarios. We'll go into some of the details around Azure Stack, in particular around the integrated systems, and then I'll do something I'm kind of passionate around, and that is security, and talk about, just sort of a drill down in security. Now, the point about that is, in talking about the security, it helps get Azure Stack in focus. So don't just flip off, turn off when you hear security. No, it helps you understand what Azure Stack is and is not by a discussion of the security. And then I'll talk about a roadmap for Azure Stack. So first, a bit of context, right? Azure Stack is new, and you should not project your past into it, okay? You got to understand it for what it is. So first, a little background, right? So I started programming in Fortran, did missiles in Fortran, missile simulations in Fortran. And then when I picked up C, for the first 6 months, I was writing Fortran programs using the C compiler. And then when I got to C++, really for the first 6 months, maybe the first year, I was writing C programs using the C++ compiler. And it's really just natural that we interpret new things through the lens of the past, okay? And, this is made worse, that's produced some confusion around what Azure Stack is as people project their past into it. And there's also this bad trend called cloud washing, right? So here's this guy, Matt, he tweets out, hey, I'm at the Oracle campus for a media event today. So I guess you could say I'm on premises, to which Frank Shaw replied, well, actually the way Oracle defines it, you're in the cloud. So what's going on here is a lot of people are taking what existing practices and saying, hey, with my next version, you can call it the cloud, okay? But it's really the same as it was done before. And that's not what Azure Stack is. Azure Stack really is the cloud. So figured I'd give you the cliff notes. Really quick, simple tutorial. What Azure Stack is, what Azure Stack is not. Azure Stack is the first product in a new category, the hybrid cloud platform. It is not a virtualization replacement play. So if you have Hyper-V and System Center, or you have VMware, and you want to be able to do all that, plus, 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 that's not this. This is not meant to replace that. We believe that the cloud is the cloud. It is a model of computing, and that as people continue to adopt Azure Stack, they will also continue to have virtualization. That those are two different models. The next is Azure Stack is really the cloud equivalent of a SAN, a storage area network. Whereas a SAN provides you storage services, Azure Stack provides you self-service, IaaS, PaaS, and cloud solutions. Okay? So this is not a do-it-yourself infrastructure solution. Azure Stack, you are required to maintain consistency with Azure. So as Azure increments, you are required to keep up to date with Azure. So this is not like the old Windows Server, where you can install Windows Server 2003, put it in a closet, and forget about it for a couple decades till some horrible virus comes out. And you're like, what? Who, me? Should I patch that system? That's not the model here. And then lastly, Azure Stack is dependent upon your success. And that's basically the business model. I'll drill into the details here. But this is not a best of luck effort, right? For Azure Stack to work for us, you need to be successful with it. And there's a radical difference than we've had in the past. So I thought I always like to talk about motivations, because the particulars of any particular plan change, but motivations are durable. And motivations are the best predictor for why we did what we did and what we'll do next. So our motivation for developing Azure Stack was first and foremost to help you accelerate your digital transformation. At Microsoft, we are true believers in the digital transformation, the ability to use digital technology to drive competitive advantage and transform your business. We want to empower you to adopt the cloud on your terms. We strongly believe that the cloud is a model and not a location. We want to help you focus in on core versus context. This is a concept from Geoffrey Moore, right? Crossing the chasm. Geoffrey Moore said that every business is engaged in two activities, core and context activities. Core activities are those activities you invest in to differentiate you from your competitors by delivering customer value. Context activities is everything else. So for an example, at Microsoft, our core activity is software. So we invest heavily in software. We scour the earth looking for the world's best software talent. We bring them in, give them the best tools, and drive and invest in that. Our context activities, in order to do that, is we need to have things like cafeterias and receptionists and shuttle. And what we want to do is we want to invest all of our energy in the core and then just sort of write a check for the context. So for instance, Microsoft has no technical fellows of the cafeteria, right? No vice presidents of the reception, no distinguished engineers of the shuttles. These things are very important and we want great service, but we're not investing our time and our energy or our best people in it. We find out what it takes to get good service, we write a check and focus 100% of our energy on our core activities. So that's what we're trying to do with Azure Stack. We're trying to give you an environment where you can focus in on your core activities. And we want to build the things that differentiate you and buy the rest. That should be differentiate. Here I'm proving that I'm an engineer. I can't spell. Okay, Azure Stack has three promises. First, Azure services running in your data center. One, Azure ecosystem. It's all about the ecosystem. And this idea of an integrated delivery experience. As you know, Azure has has 38 regions. That list is growing. This is over double our combined number of our competitors. So we have fantastic coverage throughout the world for Azure services. With Azure Stack, Service providers are very interested in grabbing Azure Stack and deploying it and making those Azure services available to their customers. Why? Because there's so much demand for Azure, and the number one thing the one thing that you cannot negotiate with, and that is the speed of light. And it is latency, which is often the key component to delivering a great user experience. So if, for instance, you're in South Africa and you have to go to Amsterdam to run your application, there's a lot of latency involved. So there are a lot of service providers that are very interested in saying, hey, we would love to offer Azure services very close to where our customers are so that they can deliver great latency to their users while still building on Azure. Additionally, now we're going to take Azure, and in addition to service providers, Azure Stack will be running in enterprises. Okay, so this allows you to take Azure services and run them wherever you want. Again, the cloud is a model, not a location. One of the key benefits of offering Azure services everywhere is it enhances this one Azure ecosystem, right? If you take a look at most of the solutions in the Azure gallery, most of them will work with Azure Stack, right? So Cloud Foundry, Chef, Docker, the tooling, Mesos, Red Hat, SUSE, blockchain, all the things you find up there, most of them will work with Azure Stack. And the benefit of this is as developers, when you provide a solution and you publish it to the gallery, you now have maximal addressable market, right? The number of people you can sell to is very, very large. So too, as a customer, you get a maximal set of choices, right? It's all about the ecosystem. You, as a developer, you want to sell to the platform that has the most number of sockets. As a customer, you want to buy into a platform that gives you the most number of solutions. By increasing the number of instances of Azure Stack, we enhance the ecosystem. This is also great from an employer-employee relationship, right? As an employer, what I want to do is I want to put out a job description and find qualified people, and when they start, I want them to be up and running very, very quickly. As an employee, having learned a set of skills, if I decide I want to move a job, I want to knock on 10 doors and have 9 of them open up and say, you have exactly the skill set that I want. And Azure is that skill set. It allows you to do that, right? Because in the past, if you just have a public cloud story, and you learn those skills, then you can only go to another company that wants to use the public cloud. If you want to go to a company that is not, the public cloud is not appropriate for them, then you have to be retrained. Now, as we were doing research on Azure Stack, what we discovered was that this was one of the key things behind a lot of the failures as people went and tried to stand up their own clouds. Because first, turns out standing up your own private cloud is very difficult. And second, having achieved that, then the real problem becomes revealed. Because after you finally get your own private cloud up and running, what happens is you offer it to your users, and then that weekend some developer says, hey, how do I add an extra NIC to this VM? And because it's a private cloud, you've effectively built your own Snowflake cloud. It's special and precious and your own, and you're the only one that can tell anyone how to do it. So it turns out the documentation, the lack of documentation, the lack of training, the lack of education, the lack of a community have really doomed most private clouds. With Azure Stack, that's not the case. With Azure Stack, you deploy it, and on the weekend, some of your developers say, hey, how do I add a NIC to this VM? They go to the public documentation. They go to the Azure communities. They do their Azure training, and that answers the question for them. So a huge benefit there. Now, the thing I want to point out here is that for this ecosystem to work, there has to be version consistency, okay? So if I go and produce a version of a product and I try to sell it to someone and they say, oh, I'd love it, except I'm down level, then that doesn't work for me. right? So for this ecosystem to work, everyone has to be roughly on the same version. And you'll see that's one of the requirements of Azure Stack, is to maintain version consistency. We have this integrated delivery experience that has four components to it. First are integrated systems. These are systems you pick up from Dell, HP, Lenovo. Later in the year, you'll be able to get them from Cisco. The model here is you pick a vendor and you pick a capacity. Boom, that's it. No more like walking through the catalogs, figuring out which NIC you want, da-da-da-da-da. Vendor and capacity, that's your model. They'll roll that in, bundle it with installation services. They'll wire up, make sure that the wiring's correct, and then we have this fast to deploy, easy to grow system. Basically, after the wiring's all set, you can start the deployment. By the end of the day, you will have integrated Azure Stack into your system, and you'll be delivering Azure Stack IaaS, PaaS, and solutions to your customer base. It is a pay-as-you-go model. Now, this is one of the things I'm most excited about. As an engineer, it's odd that I'm excited about the business model, but I am. And the reason for this is that basically it's a pay-as-you-go model, right? It's the same, it's an extension of the Azure model, and you get a single bill for your Azure services, whether they're in the public cloud or the private cloud. Now, the reason why this is so exciting is, in the past, I would sell you a system, right? Hardware guys would come in here, they'd sell you some hardware, they'd get their money, I'd sell you a CD-ROM, I'd get my money, and if you couldn't get it to work, well, that sucked, but I have my money, right? That's not the model here at Azure Stack, right? Azure Stack, you get the system, if you can't get it deployed, I don't get any money. If you're running it and something goes wrong and people can't use it, I don't get my money, right? So now our interests are absolutely aligned, and I'm just so thrilled by that, right? We have, in order for us to be successful, you must be successful. It also has an end-to-end support environment. What that means is we have integrated with the hardware vendors our support and trouble ticketing services. So as a customer, you can pick either vendor, whichever one you're comfortable with, Microsoft or your hardware vendor, and do all of your support through them. You have a hardware issue, if you want, you call up Microsoft, you say, I got this issue, we will track it down, we will get a solution for you. If you're more comfortable with your hardware vendor, you can call them up. Hey, I got a problem with this Azure Stack portal. They will take that call, they will work with us behind the scenes to deliver you a solution. So it's an easy, integrated support system. Now let's talk about the use cases for Azure Stack. Azure Stack is used in lots of different environments, but these are the three hero scenarios. So the first is edge and disconnected applications, cloud applications that meet every regulation, and modern clouds for on-premises. Modern applications, modernization of your applications. So think about edge and disconnected scenarios, right? The thing that gets this in focus is, hey, I'd like to have a modern cloud application running in my submarine. Yeah, public cloud's not going to work for that, right? No, it's not going to work for that. Now, it turns out there aren't that many submarines, okay? But there are lots of examples of disconnected and edge serving. Cruise ships, for instance. Cruise ships dock at a system and they have connectivity, but then when they sail out to sea, they do not. Now, it turns out that cruise ships have multiple redundant data centers to take care of all the point of sale systems, the customer engagement systems, the gaming systems, and they would like to run those on modern cloud applications. So it's a great environment for them. The next is think through a factory. Right? A factory. I'm going to collect sensor data, I'm going to analyze that sensor data, and I'm going to control my robots. You do not want internet connectivity in that control loop. Any disruption with the internet and you break control of that thing, you lose control of your robots. If you're not clear why losing control of your robots is a bad idea, I suggest you go rewatch the Terminator movie, right? Might want to write this down. If you only take one thing away, it's never lose control of your robots. Okay? So you want to have modern cloud applications in that control loop that is not dependent upon the internet. Now, I will tell you that having done that, often people will take that information and they'll then take aggregate information in an asynchronous way and put it in the public cloud. Okay? So that's the next scenario. The next scenario is where you have data gravity. So for instance, these racetracks, okay? Apparently racetracks, race cars, generate a huge quantity of telemetry that then is analyzed in real time and tweaked as they do the race. So they want to be able to gather all that information and with very low latency and high confidence, analyze and churn that. Now, from race to race to race, they gather this information and they want to do trending. So the pattern that's emerging is put Azure Stack close to the data, to the data that needs it in real time, and there's a very large quantity. Then take the aggregate data, put it in the public cloud, have multiple instances, and then do machine learning against that to gather cross-instance learning. So these are edge and disconnected scenarios that are great for Azure Stack. Next, applications that require, that meet regulations. The reality is that various governments and industries have regulations that a number of people have interpreted as saying, hey, I need to have a data center in a particular location or under a particular control regime. Okay? So we have companies, one company that's building an Azure application, runs in the public cloud, and is made available to their associates throughout the world. Then they're taking exactly the same Azure application and they're going to be running an Azure Stack in countries that do not allow them, that they've interpreted as not allowing them to use the public cloud. Okay? So whatever your regulation are, whatever your regulations are, Azure Stack allows you to run modern cloud applications respecting and enforcing those regulations. The next is modernizing applications and an on-premise environment. So think back to the gravity. Before I mentioned data gravity, now think compute gravity. That old mainframe system or that heritage Oracle system that you'd love to get rid of, but not ready there. What a lot of people are doing is they're putting modern cloud front ends to those systems and then applying the strangler pattern, right? Growing that system larger and larger, making it thicker and thicker, and then over time, extinguishing the back-end system. But they'd like to do that with a modern cloud application and don't want to necessarily have the latency involved of accessing a public cloud. Now, having used this pattern, you then have the choice to decide which components of that cloud application run very close to the mainframe and which components run in the public cloud. And then when you've completed the transition, you get to decide to run it entirely on-premises, entirely in the cloud, or a mixture of the two. So these are the three use cases that people are looking at Azure Stack to support. So now let's drill into some of the details, right? Here is the stack, right? On the right-hand side, you have Azure. On the left-hand side, you have Azure Stack. Now, as an architect, what I'm trying to do here is to deliver you a consistent environment. A consistent environment for your IT pros, a consistent environment for your developers. As an architect, I will tell you that there are two ways to deliver consistency. First, compatibility. Anyone know the definition of compatible? It's different. Compatible is different. The second way to deliver consistency is the same. So two strategies, compatible and the same. Wherever possible, I'm going to deliver you consistency by being the same as Azure. And when I can't be the same, I'll be consistent. So concretely, starting at the top of the stack, the Azure portal, the PowerShell commandlets, the integration with the tools, all exactly the same. It's the same code. The Azure Resource Manager, exactly the same code. The Azure IaaS and PaaS, we have a subset of those functions available in Azure Stack. I'll go into the details in another slide. Those are the same. But when it comes to the infrastructure itself, here's where I need to be compatible and not the same. And why is that? And the answer is, next time you see Mark Arsenovich, ask him, hey Mark, how many servers does your minimal stamp require? And the answer is varies, but it's around 800 servers. 800 servers. So anybody here want to start a proof of concept at 800 servers and grow from there? Yeah, no hands. Okay, so there, what we had to do is to say, we can't use the same software, we have to use compatible software. And so as the architect of Windows Server, I worked with Mark, looked at the design center for his various networking and storage subsystems, and then integrated those into Windows Server, and that's what we're using. We're using cloud-inspired infrastructure delivered in Windows Server 2016. And this is what allows us to take Azure Stack, and instead of having a minimal footprint of 800 servers, we have a minimal footprint of 4, okay? Bit of a difference there. Now, when it comes to the host, we're consistent in the model for the hosts, right? In Azure, it has a sealed host model of their design, right? They design the hardware, and there's a strict layering. Anyone here got their security or their management agents running on an Azure host? Exactly, no, that's not part of the model. Same thing works with Azure Stack. With Azure Stack, we have hardware that is co-designed with our hardware partners, so we're not in exclusive control on that. Azure was, we're not. We co-designed it with the hardware guys, but it is a sealed host. We control that. You do not put your management or security agents on it. It is an integrated system, and as an integrated system, the collection of things will integrate with your security or your management systems. We're delivering Azure PaaS and Azure IaaS services. Azure PaaS services, it's all about, remember I mentioned, it's all about allowing you to focus in on your core and buying the context, right? Does anybody here believe that they can compete against their, you know, beat their competition by being better at DNS or DHCP or provisioning bare metal machines? And I'd be surprised if anyone did. It turns out that some people believe that they can. I'm not sure that that's true. Most people readily admit that they can't. So what the model here is we're gonna take care of that for you so that you can focus in on the things that do allow you to beat your competition through differentiated value add, which is to say building applications. Right? So Azure Stack is all about empowering DevOps teams, developers and operators coming together to deliver great applications and focusing all of your energy on that versus how do I set up the DNS zones, how do I set up my IP addresses, et cetera, how do I patch these systems? We take care of all that for you. Anyway, so we are delivering you a subset of the Azure IaaS and PaaS services. That is a set that Arsenovich and I sat down and said, hey, here's what we should deliver. Here's the things most used in building modern cloud applications. They are the Azure App Service, web, mobile, API applications, Azure Functions for serverless computing, Azure Service Fabric and Container Service. Now, these will be delivered shortly after GA. And so here, again, highlights the model. Azure Stack will be like your phone, right? It's a platform, and then you go up to the store to download and run services and applications. Same thing for Azure Stack. It's a platform, it has some integrated applications, and then you can go up to the store and get new ones, okay? Azure Container Service and Azure Service Fabric will be delivered that way shortly after GA. And Cloud Foundry as well. In terms of IaaS, this goes beyond the traditional virtualization. Yes, you can take a lift and shift and run your VMs. That's great, you can do that. But we also have blob, table, and queues for storage. For networking, we took the Azure software-defined networking stack and we ported that to Windows. And so that is the Azure code, again, same code, took their code and are now shipping it in Windows. So that's their SDN stack, the software-defined load balancer, and the VPN gateways. We've got Docker with containers and full support for both Linux and Windows. Okay, full support for Linux, 100%. And of course, we got virtual machines and virtual machine scale sets. The scale sets, again, will be another feature that will be delivered post-GA. We have a different cloud operating model, right? In Azure, you, the users, consume Azure. We, Microsoft, we run it. With Azure Stack, you will buy and deploy Azure, and your customers will use it, but then your engineers will run it. There are two roles in running Azure Stack. The first, which is medium to high skill, is the cloud architect, but it's for a fairly short duration of time. This is something you could use a consultant to do. They're going to design and integrate it. So we'll define all the things that you need to do to integrate Azure Stack into your environment, setting up IP addresses, integrating with your identity, et cetera. They'll do that, and then once it's running, that person will then shift focus to go help a DevOps team with their, set up their DevOps stuff. And then the cloud operator. Now here, the cloud operator to operate Azure Stack, that's a particularly low-skilled job. Okay, so just like a storage area network, right? A storage area network, the SAN administrator is not, logging into the individual servers, looking at the details of the logs. No, they look at a console, and a light comes on and says, remove a disk, replace a disk. In Azure Stack, they're going to have a console, a light's going to come on and say, replace this disk, or replace this server, or you're running out of capacity. So we have a model we call the driver mechanic model. You have a car, you drive a car. Light comes on, says put gasoline in. You put gasoline in, everything's good. You don't put gasoline in, things go bad. Pay attention to those lights. Drive along, says put air in your tire. You put air in your tire. So it tells you what to do, very simplistically. Then, if something's more complicated than that, a light comes on and says call your mechanic. Exactly the same thing with Azure, right? All the things that we tell you, know that you can succeed with and are action-oriented, we have lights to tell you what to do, and then you can call the mechanic. And that is, say, you call the support line, and we will deal with the complex scenarios. Azure Stack is delivered and runs on integrated systems. Here's three examples of those systems from Dell, HP, and Lenovo. The first version of Azure Stack starts off small and then will grow from there. We start off with at least 4 systems and you grow to 12 systems, and then later that will grow. And you'll see we actually model and mirror the Azure scaling architecture. I believe one of these vendors has recently come out and said that they will offer you 4, 8, or 12 systems. Now, version 1 of Azure Stack, you pick the capacity that you need for the next 6 months, because adding servers is a feature that will come within the first 6 months of Azure Stack. It's not there immediately. So you want to think about what capacity you'll want and buy that at the get-go. Now, when I say an integrated system, I mean an integrated system. This is not just a bunch of servers that we've specified. It's the hardware, the services, the support, and the software all integrated in together. So concretely, we have a set of servers. We integrate the whole stack, right? We specify the switches, and we have a BMC switch where we configure that. We have 2 top-of-rack switches for fault resiliency, and we configure those as well. So we're taking responsibility for the entire integrated system. And we're taking responsibility for the entire life cycle of the integrated system. So concretely, the architecture, hardware, and topology, these are things that we worked out with the hardware vendors and co-designed these integrated systems. We will handle all of the deployment, the configuring, the provisioning of this environment. Again, plug it in, make sure your hardware is running. We deploy that, and about by the end of the day, you'll have Azure Stack up and running. We do all the validation. We've been working extensively with these hardware vendors, just burning in those components, finding the edge cases, fixing the firmware, fixing the drivers, incredible amount of stuff. There's incredible amount of load testing on this. It's all designed to give you something where you can what? Focus in on the core, delivering applications, while not paying attention to the infrastructure. You can just assume that stuff's working for you, just as you can with Azure. We'll do monitoring and diagnostics of all the components. We'll do field replacement, have well-established procedures for how to replace and extend the system with no drama. We will be patching and updating the entirety of the system, delivering you business continuity and doing all the security and privacy lockdowns, right? So when you integrate this into your data center, you know, you have a bunch of server, a bunch of hardware, et cetera. You just think of that as this Azure Stack block, right? And here's what you need to do to integrate that into your system. So the first is to plug it into a border device, make sure you have the IP address ranges provided for the hardware that's needed. You then provide space, power, cooling. You integrate identity, both for the cloud administrator and for the tenant space, integrate into your identity system. And then we'll give you various ways to integrate in your data center monitoring, trouble ticketing, and hardware monitoring systems. These are the activities I mentioned are the activities of the cloud architect. They require some skill, but they're for a short duration of time. After these things are done, like a SAN, you just use it. Now, patching. We do all the patching and the updating, okay? These systems are not directly connected up to Windows Update. No, 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 my friends. We are connected to Windows Update. You are connected to us. When Windows Update comes out, we will take those patches and we will run them in a test environment to ensure that they can be deployed to your system without any drama. Okay, so when you get it from us, you can be assured it can be deployed without drama. Your console will show up, just like it does with a phone, et cetera, saying, hey, there are some updates available. You'll click that, say, please deploy this. We will deploy those in a service-aware fashion. We understand the components of the system. We know how to apply those patches to minimize tenant disruption. And we'll be doing this for both our components and the firmware for the hardware as well. Now I'm going to drill into a particular topic that I'm passionate around, and that is security. If you're not up on current events, if you drop the ball on security, bad things can happen. And here's the thing, security is really, really, really hard, right? And in the past, I have been a pessimist about computer security. And a couple years ago, in fact, it was the Azure Stack project that transformed me from a pessimist to an optimist. So why was I a pessimist? And the answer was, as the architect of Windows Server, I sat there delivering you, my audience, a general purpose system. And how can I help you protect that? And the answer is, I can provide a set of features that allow you to use them to protect your system, but I can't really protect the system. I can only provide you tools to protect your system. Some of the best in the industry have taken these tools and produced very secure systems. Some people who are more focused in on delivering their applications and not paying too much attention to the infrastructure have not used those tools and techniques to greatly secure their systems, and therefore they have had difficulties. With Azure Stack, I'm not providing you a general purpose system that can do anything. I'm delivering you a fully integrated system, and that allows us to secure it. So, this is the Azure Stack internals. There are lots of moving parts here. In fact, this is inaccurate. Up here at the top, the ARM layer, Azure Stack has two ARMs, okay? Two portals, one for the tenant facing, one for the fabric administration, even more security. But the point of this is, you know, internals are internal. The thing I want to highlight, and by the way, I'm telling my team, stop showing architecture diagrams of Azure Stack. It confuses people, right? You don't get to see this stuff. It's a black box. You shouldn't care about this stuff. It's a black box. You're focused in on using the black box, not peeking underneath the covers, right? I'm not letting you log in. I'm not letting you change things, not letting you put your agent on there. It's a strict layering. But I show you this diagram to point out that we understand the system. It is a fully integrated system. I know all the components of the system. I place them where I place them. I put them in particular VMs. I put them on particular hosts. And I know who they should talk to. And because I know all this information, it puts us in a position where we can lock it down and provide great security. So, first, we start off by adopting the security best practices. Of course, we use the Microsoft Secure Deployment Development Lifecycle. This is something we developed quite a long time ago, continued to update it for a cloud world, and we're developing all our components to that. Next, we have threat modeled each one of these components. Again, the threat model is different than in the general purpose case. In the general purpose case, it's very hard, you threat model a general purpose thing, it's hard to threat model. But in this environment, I know the component and I know exactly how it's used in a system. It makes it easier to get a high quality threat model. We have contracted two independent third party penetration testers to attack Azure Stack and give us feedback on the security. And as I mentioned, we are going to patch and keep the system up to date, including the firmware. Now, the thing I want to point out was I mentioned to you that for the ecosystem to work required version consistency, okay? And this is one of the reasons why we require you to keep version updates. So as patches come out, you're required to patch the system. As new versions come out, you're required to update the versions. You will have control over this. You will have control over the timing, but not whether you patch the systems, okay? So when a new update comes out, we haven't picked the time period, but it'll probably be about 6 months. You can defer an upgrade for about 6 months, but after that, you have to deploy it or you'll be out of support. Now, one of the challenges we have had in people keeping up to date with Windows software is third-party drivers and components. So as the architect of Windows Server, I would go to customers and I'd say, hey, I've got Windows Server 2016. It's awesome. And they said, yeah, it is. And I said, great. So you're deploying it? And they said, no. I said, oh, why not? And there were three variations of the story as to why people did not pick up the latest version of the operating system. Number one, they said, I'd love to. However, I use this third-party software, and they're not yet available on the latest version of the OS. So I can't go to your latest version. Okay. Next version of the story, I would love to go to the new version of the OS, but I have this third-party software, and it's available on the new OS, but they want to charge me a full relicensing fee. So it just doesn't make economic sense for me to go pick up the latest version of the software. Okay. The third was, I'd love to pick up the new version of the OS, but I have this third-party software, and they went out of business, and I'm never going to upgrade that system. You laugh because you know it's true. So if you think about that, and you think about the requirement that for Azure Stack to work, for the ecosystem to work, you have to keep up to date to the versions. This is why we adopted the principle of strict layering. The principle of strict layering basically says for the hardware and the operating system and the internals, we are in complete control and we control that, and then you layer on top of that. There's no layer breakage, okay? That's what's behind that. Now, again, because it's a well-understood integrated system, we can harden it. So we get to specify everything. So I specified, I'm not using servers unless I have TPMs, so I can do secure boot, and UEFI. So that's a hardware requirements. We take advantage of the great features, security features, that we put into Windows Server 2016, so Credential Guard, and a device guard, right? Device guard. Because I know everything of the system, every single VM, I know exactly what software should be running, and if it's not that, it should not be running. So that allows us to set up code integrity systems so that the operating system will reject any code that isn't specifically allowed to run on those systems. And of course, we have anti-malware with Windows Defender integrated into Windows Server 2016. We've gone and disabled the legacy protocols like NTLM, and we're in the process of removing legacy components like SMB1. Anybody think that's a good idea? Everyone should do that. We looked at the OS security baselines, and there's a number of them out there. We chose the military STIGs, right? These are the security technical implementation guidelines. We chose the military ones to have the highest level of security, and that's implemented on all of our systems. We have full encryption of data at rest and for network traffic. And we have our own integrated Active Directory and certificate authority so that we have very strong identity of the internal components, right? We integrate with your Active Directory or your ADFS through trust systems, but we have our own. You're an admin of your environment. That doesn't mean you're an admin of my environment, right? I will come in and I will give particular accounts access to particular sets of things, but you're never domain admin. In fact, there isn't a domain admin concept in Azure Stack. And by the way, sort of industry best practice is to rotate these certs on a frequent basis. In reality, that turns out to be about once a year. We're going to be doing the certificate rotation about once a month. Additionally, starting a few years ago, Microsoft took a more mature approach to security. Yes, we harden the systems, but now we also assume breach. We design our systems saying there will be an adversary out there who at some point is smarter than us, and they will gain a foothold. What are we going to do about that? And there are three things you do in an assume breach mindset. You detect, you disrupt, and you repair, or you remediate. So detection. We have integrated all the logging. We've got a very simple log stream to centralize the log components from everywhere, and you can feed this to your security solutions. Next, we've locked down the infrastructure, right? There is no access to the infrastructure components. There's no domain admin. Everything's using JIA, right? Just enough admin, where something with a low privileged account uses an endpoint, which gives it temporary higher privileges only to do a specified set of operations. Again, I can do that because it's an integrated system. I know what everything should do, so I give things absolutely the lowest privileges. We have like four layers of network protection. This is just crazy cool stuff, right? So we have virtual LANs to isolate traffic. On the top of rack switches, we configure the ACLs in the top of rack switches. You go through a software-defined networking layer, so we use SDN ACLs to control traffic. And then in the VMs themselves, we're putting firewall rules. This is a very secure system. And we're using these constrained and compartmentalized administration. Again, giving ourselves least privileges using service accounts, and then elevating them on a local system to only perform a specific set of actions, right? We have very fine-grained RBAC. At some point, when that light comes on and says, call a mechanic, this system, we have diagnostic systems, et cetera, that apply to here. So too, at some point, that's not gonna work, and we have designed for that with something we call the break the glass privileged endpoint. This is a technology that we worked out with Store Simple, and basically it's something that allows your support people to access systems with and be able to do anything to them. This requires two keys. You, the customer, have a key. It's like launching a nuke, right? It takes two independent keys, no one control point. You, the customer, have a key. Microsoft or the hardware guys, they have a key. Those two keys are then used, and a break-the-glass endpoint is opened up where you can go remediate the system. There is a transaction, or sorry, a transcript kept of everything that's done, and the customer is given a copy, and we request the customer give us a copy so that we can put that on record too. That's to remediate a situation. We've also adopted or moving towards an immutable infrastructure model. So the immutable infrastructure model says, if I'm ever in question about an environment or component, what I do is I throw it away and I recreate it, okay? And so in this way, we can always recreate the environment, always assure that that environment has not varied from its specified state. Now, to run cloud applications, often you need to be certified to do this. Azure is one of the most certified clouds out there. No, not one of. It is the most certified cloud out there. Now, when you do these formal certifications, you know, there are three components to it. There is the technology, and the technology is both the infrastructure and the applications. There's the people and processes. So Azure itself is able to get these certifications because we do the technology, we have the people, and we have the processes. With Azure Stack, you need to be certified, but we're providing you the technology. And so what we've done is we've done a formal assessment of Azure Stack with a third party, and they provide the pre-compiled documentation for your infrastructure stack to be able to help you get these certifications. Okay? So it dramatically simplifies your task to become certified and enable you to take your software and sell it to a maximal addressable market. Now let's talk about the roadmap for Azure Stack. The next version, after we ship this year, middle of this year, immediately after that, we'll focus in on three things. First is we will do an Azure version refresh, get the latest Azure bits, make them available. We will continue to add new Azure services, and we work on fundamentals. Here's the trick. You might want to take a snapshot of this. Every version after that, this is the roadmap. This is the roadmap forever. It's not a simple product. Azure Stack is not separate from Azure. Azure Stack is not your instead of Azure strategy. It is your Azure plus strategy. Azure Stack exists to deliver you Azure. So what are we going to do? We're always going to be up to date with Azure. We're always going to try and make more and more of Azure available to you, and we're always going to try and deliver it with less and less drama. The fundamentals. How will we do these services? Well, we don't think about services in terms of features and functions. We think of them in terms of scenarios to light up your environment. Okay? So these highlighted ones are the ones that we focused in on version one, and we are now in the process of working with you, our customers, to find out what next set of scenarios you want to do. And then from there, that will determine the APIs and services that we need to make available on Azure Stack. In terms of the fundamentals, we will continue to add new partners. We will support new hardware. The Purley servers are going to be available later this year, so we'll refresh to support those. We'll work to be able to expand the cluster size and add additional clusters. We'll improve our business continuity disaster recovery story. We'll increase the scope of our monitoring and auto remediation. We want that column mechanic light to not light up as much as possible. We'll continue to refine our logging. Right now we have lots and lots of logging, yay. You probably don't want to read those individual logs yourself. You want to use a big data system for those logs or a security product that's based upon a big data system. We will be adopting more and more of the Azure scaling architecture. So here's how Azure scaling works. You have the Azure Resource Manager, and then it can talk to various regions. Within a region, you have availability, data zones, data centers, and scale units. So in Azure Stack, we have a 1-1, 4-12. We have one region, we have one scale unit, and we have 4-12 servers in the scale unit. What we will be doing is we will be increasing the number of servers in a scale unit. We will be increasing the number of scale units in a region, and we will be increasing the number of regions available to you. So we're exactly mirroring the Azure scale architecture. So to recap, Azure Stack has three promises: delivering Azure services in your data center, creating this one Azure ecosystem where your code can be served to the most number of people, where you have the most number of options to help build that code, and this integrated delivery experience. Again, the cliff notes: Azure is the first product of a new category, this hybrid cloud platform. Hopefully now you understand what those words meant when I said Azure Stack is the cloud equivalent of a storage area network, now delivering you IaaS, PaaS, and solutions, cloud solutions. Why Azure Stack needs to maintain consistency with Azure, and how we are dependent upon your success. You'll see so much of what we do is dependent. We do this because we try and eliminate the drama, make sure you can run and your applications, deploy, develop your applications without any drama. Our business model depends on you succeeding. So Azure Stack is new. You don't want to project your past into it. Okay? So think, understand it for what it is. Now, I mentioned to you, we start off with motivation, why we do things. And I mentioned to you that we're all about accelerating your digital transformation. Now, digital transformation is hard, right? Digital transformation requires transformational change. Transformational change requires transformational leadership. So at this point, I'd like you to stop and think about your company, right? Think about your CEO. Think about all your chief executives. Think about your vice presidents. Think about your directors. And I want you to realize this. Within 10 years, probably within 5, most of those people are going to be gone. And those people will be replaced by a new generation of leaders. A generation of leaders that have figured out this digital transformation, who figured out how to use digital technology to drive their business forward and beat their competition by delivering compelling business advantage. We see this time and time again. The people who dial this in and get it right are delivering outstanding results. If you deliver outstanding results, you become the next generation of leaders. And so I want you to look around the room, right? And realize that if you're here, guess what? Chances are there's a very good chance you are doing all the right things necessary to become that next generation of leaders. And so I wanted you to ask yourself, well, why not me? Why don't I step up to the plate and become that transformational leadership, transformational leader? Because you can do it. So that's it. I hope this has been useful to you. I think we have a bit of time for questions. Is that true? We do. So if they have any questions, do we have a microphone?
So
Don.
You mentioned the pricing model. A bunch of folks are asking, is Azure Stack a CapEx followed by OpEx? Or is it?
Question was, on the pricing model, you mentioned, is it a CapEx or is it a OpEx or a mixture? So from a software point of view, you have two choices. First is, it is the pay-as-you-go model, so that's an OpEx model. There are certain customers that either don't want variability or they don't want anyone to know their level of compute usage, and so we have a capacity buyout. So that's a yearly buyout. You pick a capacity and you have a fixed price. From the hardware side, most of the hardware vendors are still doing the traditional model, although I just read that Dell is adopting a pay-as-you-go model for the hardware, but I don't know the details on that. You'll have to work with them. But in general, that's the model. It's one of the big advantages of the cloud is the fact that you can use this and only pay for what you want. And so a lot of the hardware vendors are looking to figure out how they can make that, mirror that for them. Yes, sir. Is Azure Stack meant to be work on classified government networks? Okay, great. So what about fully disconnected environments? Yes, we are designed to support that. So first, the security, governments are going to love that security. It's rocking. We are designed to be able to work in a completely disconnected way. How does that work? And the answer is it's designed so you can go to a connected system to download the updates and software, use Sneakernet, right? Grab a USB drive, connect it up, and deploy it that way. Yes, we are designed to support that. Yes, sir. Large third-party systems, half terabytes. That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head, what the maximum memory capacity of the first generation of hardware is. But you know, Windows Server is. We are working with the hardware vendors so that they can provide maximal flexibility to you to be able to be small or very large. In version one, that range is pretty. It's not as wide as we'd like it to be. Going forward with the next generation of servers, we anticipate there'll be much more variability, both in terms of capacity and scale. Just shout them out. Yeah, what's the release date? So what we've said is the middle of half of this year, so that's any day now, but basically the model is this. We, because it's an integrated system, we take our software and we deliver it to our OEMs, and then they go through their factory process, and we don't know how long that will take. And each vendor will be slightly differently. Now, next version, and the answer is, it's Azure, baby. So we ship version one, and then next month there'll be updates, and there'll be updates, and there'll be updates. And, you know, we'll probably have kind of try and snap to the Azure semester model for large updates, but there will be a continuous stream of updates for the system. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the disconnected use case. Are there tools in place to help, like, your local Azure stack data get synchronized up to the normal Azure cloud, or is that just your custom development?
Yeah, so in the disconnected case, is there any help we have for synchronizing data between the on-premises and the Azure cloud? And no one's ever asked me that. I don't think that's something we've thought through. No, I'm not sure I even understand the scenario. But if you want to catch me afterwards, we can drill in. How do you patch into disconnected scenario? Oh, okay. The question was, you know, how do you patch and how do you make sure it's up to date in 6 months? So basically the patching is, as I mentioned, you use a connected system to download the patches, and then you can take them, hand walk them over, plug them in, and apply them. In terms of how do we know that you're 6 months in date, we don't. By the way, if you're disconnected, you have to choose the capacity purchase plan. Right, so you pay all up front. It's not pay as you go because you're not connected. In the pay as you go connected case, resource records are generated and sent up to Azure. That's how you get the unified bill. So in the disconnected case, that's not the case. And the only way we know is that if you call up for support and we find out that you're out of 6 months, out of date. Again, date to be duration to be determined. At that point, they'll say. Yet the first step we need to do is to bring you up to date and see if the problem persists. It's hard to see in the back there, so if you got a question, you gotta like stand up and shout it. Okay, I saw some hand. Go for it.
Yes, sir, I got a question. Do you have any kind of like minimum requirements or rather in terms of for a smaller organization, what would be the IT staff likely to have a working system? I realize that there's a number of variables there in terms of the sizes of data, throughput and traffic, but do you have any kind of models that say, yeah, we manage an Azure stack implementation, say, with three IT types, aside from whatever would be the development staff?
Yeah, the question was, Do we have a guidance on IT staffing for an Azure Stack environment, you know, scale, et cetera? We're in the process of articulating the roles and responsibilities and the skill levels required for Azure Stack. The general story is going to be this. There is that cloud architect that helps integrate Azure Stack when it comes in the door, okay, or when you want to expand it. Hey, how do I define the address ranges? How am I going to do my Active Directory integration, my identity integration, et cetera? Then there's the ongoing maintenance. And the ongoing maintenance, the idea is that it's a very low-skilled job. And, you know, lights come on, tell you what to do. Lights warn you when you're running out of capacity, et cetera, that there's not a lot to do there. In this regard, very similar to a storage area network, right? Just tells you what to do. So then the question is, well, what do you do with your IT staff? Are they just useless now and you fire them all? No, my friends. Now they get to do the important, valuable stuff, which is to partner with developer teams to develop a DevOps community focused in on the things that drive the business forward, right? Setting up CI/CD pipelines, setting up automated build systems, figuring out how to use that great infrastructure as a service that we're providing you to deliver cloud applications. So let me be really clear on this point. You know, I am very bullish on IT and the role of IT. And I'm bullish because and Azure Stack's role in helping these people deliver more value and get more money and more pay from their employees, from employers, because they're delivering so much value. Look, the reality is if you're an IT guy and you're doing a whole bunch of stuff, it might be really, really hard, but if it's not delivering value to the organization, it's sort of hard to get compensated for that. If you're able to stop your focus and all your energy on the stuff that isn't driving business value to all of a sudden helping drive business value by working with your development teams to drive these live, you know, applications, beating your competitors, there's more money to be paid than that. That's a much better life. So I'm very bullish on IT. Yeah, the question is, do we still have the same concept of subscriptions and multi-tenancy, et cetera? Yes. In fact, to help put that in focus, we had an Azure Stack airlift about 6 weeks ago. We anticipated we were going to have about 200, 250 people. We had over 1,000. We had to work with the venue to get larger space and order more lunches. And what it was all these service providers absolutely enthusiastic about getting Azure Stack so that they could deploy it. Now, if you think about service providers, of course you have to have multi-tenancy and subscriptions. So yes, we have that. That's one of the reasons why they're so excited. Now, for a service provider and for multi-tenancy, you do need to be connected up with Azure Active Directory. If you're not supporting that, you have the option to be disconnected and not connect in, but rather to integrate in with Active Directory. All right, so I'll be around today and tomorrow. I've got a couple PowerShell talks tomorrow with Don Jones, so feel free to join me or ask me any questions. Thank you for your time.